ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're going to recite this verse 10. It's on the board, Canto 5, Chapter 5. And there are three other verses that are translated all together. We'll just chant the first one.
Hangse gura mai bhaktya nuvritya Vritrishnaya dvandva tatikshaya cha Sarvatra jantor vyasana navakatya Jigyasaya tapasaha nivritya Angse gurau mai bhaktya nuvritya Vritrishnaya dvande tatikshaya cha Sarvatra jantor vyasana vagatya Jigyasaya tapasaha tapaseha navritya
Hangse Who is a Paramahansa, or the most exalted spiritually advanced person?
Gurau,
to the spiritual master.
Mai,
unto me the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bhaktya,
by devotional service. Anuvritya, by following.
Vritrishnaya,
by detachment from sense gratification.
Dvandva,
of the dualities of the material world.
Datikshaya,
by tolerance.
Cha,
also.
Sarvatra,
everywhere.
Janto,
of the living entity.
Vyasana,
the miserable condition of life.
Avagatya,
by realizing.
Jigyasaya,
by inquiring about the truth.
Tapasa,
by practicing austerities and penance.
Iha nivritya,
by giving up the endeavor for sense enjoyment. And then comes the rest of the three verses, word for word, and I'm just going to read the translation and the ecstatic purport. Listen carefully. This is like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in a nutshell. Packed. Oh, my sons, this is Rishabdev addressing his sons. Oh, my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth. Then, undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Pretty good, huh? Like, keeps going. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can have completely control, you can completely control your life, air, mind, and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing bhakti yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. All of that just for that one thing. Give up the false ego. It's the most subtle and it's the most heavy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In these four verses, Rishabhdev tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditional life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing, as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam, vyapohet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Guru Padashrayaha. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad bhigyanartham sagurum eva bhigacchet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping, and dressing, is reduced. By associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Mad-deva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods, but here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. That was just one paragraph. Here comes the next paragraph. Another important item is called Dvandva Tatiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Tam Tatiksha Swabharata. One has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife according to the scriptural injunctions is also accepted as brahmacharya, parentheses celibacy, but illicit sex is opposed to religious principles and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajitaha. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be A realized soul, in this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. Two more paragraphs. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four slokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, bhakti yoga is the acknowledged path of liberation. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from Adhyatma, Atmano vihitam karma virajitya jiravit virajit vanya karmanaha kamasya cha parityago nirihetyahur uttamaha. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. Any other activity should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless. But when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Final paragraph. Spiritual knowledge is jnana, vijnana, samanvitam. When one is equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31. Jnanam paramaguyame yad vijnana samanvitam. Same language. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of the living entities. This knowledge is vijnana, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna. End of purport. Beautiful, huh? Like, read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and live it, and read it again. And so, back, a little review. This chapter 5, these first verses of chapter 5 are so important that I remember very clearly Srila Prabhupada instructed in the Vrindavan Gurukul that the boys in the Gurukul should chant those verses every day. I don't know how many of them, but I certainly remember the sound vibration. All those, boys with really loud voices all lined up in a row on the veranda of the Gurukul, and that echo chamber in that Gurukul space. And chanted to the top of their lungs these verses as instructions, the instructions of Rishabhdev, how to proceed on the path of perfection. So after those initial verses, there's the intermediate ones between those initial ones and this verse. Rishabhdev has been saying, again, as he did earlier, the peril of attachment. And attachment to, the sense of being an enjoyer of the senses, an enjoyer through the senses, enjoyer of the sense objects. the perils of that. We heard the doing so. In the conditioned state, there's spiritual desire, there's material desire, there's a mix, and acting on the material desire more than necessary was something we discussed at length. Where's that line? Necessary, unnecessary, and then when those things that are necessary to keep one progressing, even those should not be done for the purpose of sense gratification, but for the purpose of maintaining balance and using that exclusively for Krishna service, at least striving in that way. So that was covered by Rishabhdev. And then he spoke about the cutting of the knot in the heart. The knot in the heart keeps one stuck, and cutting the knot in the heart liberates one. So he's advocating, obviously, don't be stuck. Go for the liberation side. And when that knot in the heart is slackened, one turns away from attachment, because that knot is attachment. Attachment to the bodily conception of life and sense enjoyment, I and mine, and all of that. It becomes cut. So now, here he's detailing how the cut works. And important in the very beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is indicating it's a gradual process, basically. These are principles that, when followed progressively over time, the knot is cut. Vidaya grantis. And at the very beginning, so there's a whole series of things, but at the very beginning is the principle of acceptance of a spiritual master, adau shraddha. Here, hangse gurau. One should accept, just says Rupa Goswami, in those 64 items, three of them are accept the spiritual master, follow the instruction of the spiritual master, serve the spiritual master. So Rupa Goswami didn't pull that out of the air. It's scriptural. And he's summarizing in a nice form. Here's Rishabhdev teaching the same thing. And I really, really like how Prabhupada has translated the first two lines. Rishabhdev he's taking the position of the personality of Godhead, because he is. He's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He's a particular type of Shakti Vaishavatar, but he's the personality of Godhead. So he's saying, by taking shelter of a spiritual master, a qualified spiritual master, a hangse, a paramahansa, Vaishnav, as one's spiritual master, by so doing, or in this way, you're placing your faith in the personality of Godhead. Should I do it again? I think it's important. It's not like, okay, the personality of Godhead is somewhere so far distant that I don't know him, so I'll just take shelter of somebody and then that's all I need. But the Supreme Lord is saying, Rishabhdev is saying, by so doing in this way, your faith and love in me is being placed, or you should place your faith and love in me. So it's the reason for shelter in the spiritual master is because of, it's not so remote that you like get out your binoculars and you can't see. Get out your Hubble telescope and you still can't see. It's implicit. It should be understood. It's important. We're not a cult. The teaching is the personality of Godhead is taken shelter of by taking shelter of a spiritual master, because that's Krishna's system. And Rishabhdev is saying the same. So I don't even know how to go through this purport because there's so much. Take any one thing, you got a whole class, and then another thing, you got a whole class, and we'll hear for, you know, several days. It's very, very wonderful. So just do as Prabhupada did, just touch on some of the points. There's the injunction and prohibition message embedded, woven throughout this purport. So something to do, something to not do. So the something to do is take shelter of the spiritual master, place your faith in, by so doing, placing one's faith in Krishna and love in Krishna. And by so doing, then something else happens. That is, there's a slackening, a natural slackening in attraction for personal comfort. Dash, for eating, sleeping, and dressing. Fashion. Devotees have their little fashion program going on too. And I was, you know, in visiting China, I was really surprised. I probably shouldn't have been surprised. But they're really into fashion. I don't know, I could go off for a while about that, but, you know, it makes sense in one sense because, you know, with prosperity, what are you going to do with prosperity if you're godless? You know, you look for stuff that makes you look better, smell get better, you know, something better. You know, zoom, zoom, something. So it's all kinds of. And, you know, just anybody, everybody. You know, consumerism. Consumer economics. You got money, you consume. And, you know, then fashion can go the other way. Oh, look how renounced I am. And, you know, it's you know, without going into the detail. It's simply a fashion. You know, dressing. And I learned from kids, like, you know, little kids in school, very young age, there's all this pressure about fashion. Wow. And, you know, they don't wait. You gotta conform to fashion. It's like, in Seattle, many of you know Nandasuta. And his daughter, Aditi, started a fashion. And the fashion was two-color socks. She had a rationale, was, you know, one sock gets a hole in it, why throw it away? The other one, you know, use that one and one that doesn't have a hole in it. And it was like her thinking. So she started wearing two-colored socks. And next thing you know, all the kids in the school are wearing two-colored socks. Not because their parents can't afford socks. They probably got a drawer full of socks, but then they take one from over here and one from over there and two-colored socks because it's just fashion. So I said, Aditi, why don't you wear tilak? To school. And she said, well, I don't mind if the kids laugh at me, but I don't think they'll pick that up as fashion because they'll see it as religious. You know, two-colored socks, that's cool, but, you know, religious. I said, try it. Go ahead and see what happens. I bet you find a lot of people wearing tilak just because it's cool. Or, you know, they'll do it some other way. They'll put it over here. You know, nose rings. And, you know, the next thing you know, you got metal all over people's bodies. Fashion. Etc. So, such tendency slackens. And then there's the other side. And the other side is the injunction to reduce that stuff. And what happens is then ignorance and passion subside and goodness increases and the inclination for taking shelter of Krishna becomes more suitable and more natural. So the injunction leads to something else, and the prohibition leads to the injunction. They work well together. But the other doesn't work well together. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness. We know this from Prabhupada's purports. It's like starting a fire and pouring water on the fire. That's not a good way to start a fire. And if you want to advance in spiritual life, you do these very nice things. And the very next sentence after saying, when one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. Immediately after, he speaks, goes back again to the first one about association with the devotee. You know, the language is purposeful. At least I take it that way. The devotee means the one that's mentioned in the first line. You know, the Paramahansa devotee. And, you know, we're not all, probably some of us are Paramahansas around here, but we're not all Paramahansas. So what about associating with Paramahansas? How do you do that? At least those that are cultivating that, whatever their position may be, maybe here or here or here, but followers of Rupa Goswami cultivate anyabhilashita shunyam gyanakarma janavratam, cultivating anukoyena. Cultivating. So associated with those that are cultivating. And then Prabhupada says, by associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. I like that. I think I'm going to memorize that sentence. For a number of reasons, it resonates. And it's one of the duties, it's one of the explicitly repeated duties of a GBC, is maintaining spiritual standards. Maintaining spiritual standards. Because over time, what happens? Deterioration. So there has to be the maintenance mode of maintaining spiritual standards. And how do you maintain spiritual standards? It's in the previous sentence. By association with the devotee. So there he is, our founder Acharya. And how do we associate with our founder Acharya? Anybody know how to do that? We all do it. How to do it? Read his books. And then you discuss with other devotees what you read in his books. And then you consider how to apply his teaching within his books, and you go, wow, that was nice. I'm going back to those books. And coming very soon, at our GBC meeting in Mayapur just passed, we felt the importance of making a statement. So it's called the GBC statement. And it's something to do with several things, but the main element is everybody presently, we say second generation devotees in that kind of language, anybody that's part of ISKCON can have a direct relationship with Srila Prabhupada, or say a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his books and his recorded teachings and the instructions that we follow, and things like getting up in the morning and taking a bath and putting on tilak and a dhoti and that the activities that we follow, that's part of our relationship with him, everybody. And then there's some other stuff about Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, and I can send it. I will be sending it out to our leaders, because I want a part of a package of what happened at our GBC meeting, and I'm waiting for one document to come from our executive committee where another statement was made, words of appreciation of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Because without getting into it too much, they got mud thrown at them over the past year, and they were very discouraged. So the director of the hospital is Madhavananda Prabhu, and anybody that's met him knows what his quality is like. He is so humble. You never even know he's like the director of this big hospital. When I first met him, he was just kind of standing off to the side and, you know. And then they said, oh, we'd like to introduce you to Madhavananda. He's the director of the hospital. Anyway, I could go on appreciating. He's an amazing person. When I had a medical problem in Mayapur at the meeting last year. He was the first one at my door. He was there for something else. He was discussing with the Mayapur leadership how they could have medical care for the people that live in Mayapur. That's what he was there for. And he had a couple of other people with him. I don't know how he heard. He heard I had a medical problem. He was at my door and, you know, and spent the time needed and made the plan and was calling this person, that person, this hospital, and just like get other opinions. And he took care of me like a little baby. It was like, just like that, but completely humble. Anyway, he's an amazing person. So we invited him to make a presentation at our GBC meeting. And for about 20 minutes, it was focused on the spiritual care department of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Aside from the medical care, they understood we need spiritual care. Helps people with their medical care, and it's part of, because we're devotees. So they have a staff of 30 or 35 people, fully paid people, that's all they do. And they showed these statistics since the time the hospital opened. If I can remember correctly, it's something like from the area in that part of Bombay where they're servicing the people of that area, there's something like 563 initiated devotees. Do you know any temple that has 563 initiated devotees in the area surrounding their temple? And then, you know, another statistic of something like 3,000 people that are chanting. And, you know, just from being at the hospital. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we sent a little letter saying, we really appreciate what you're doing. And so I want a copy of that letter and then this other GBC statement about Prabhupada's unique position saying, among other things, everybody, please understand, we want everybody in ISKCON to understand, you have a relationship with Prabhupada. Not like, okay, he's some distant person, but what is it? Then Rabindra Sarup Prabhu is preparing a book on the meaning of founder acharya. What does it mean? You know, if we probably did a little survey, we get a lot of different answers of what it means. He's writing a book, what it means. And coming up, because it has to undergo some feedback editing type of thing. So back to this. Association with the devotee, the hamsay, the Paramahansa devotee, have a relationship with Prabhupada. Read his books. And discuss his books. Have spiritual relationships with other devotees by discussing his books with the other devotees and bring the messages into your heart and follow them. And by that method, spiritual standard is maintained. Maintained. Exact words of Prabhupada. So one of the things that the GBC is supposed to be doing is maintaining spiritual standards. So now we know how to do it. Make sure the devotees are reading Prabhupada's books and discussing them with one another and applying them and living by them. Some of the devotees here probably remember when we didn't have the assembly of devotees attending class every morning. We didn't have devotees attending Mangal Arati every morning. Even they were living in the building because there was some other kind of view of what it means to practice Krishna consciousness. Anyway, this is maintaining spiritual standards. And morning and evening program and the various activities of studying Prabhupada's books together and discussing Prabhupada's books and etc. You know, it's just like straight from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from Rishabhdev telling his sons and Prabhupada explaining, here's how to do it. And remember, I'll say it again at the end, but remember what the goal is? Getting free from false ego. Yay! Getting free from false ego. Remember our discussions from the last several days on that topic, because when creation takes place, false ego is the first element that separates out of pradhan, and everybody's got one. Even if your body's finished, you got a false ego, and it carries you to the next body. And even while within the body, it rules. The eye and mind principle governs how you think and what happiness is and, you know, who you are and who other people are, what love is and what knowledge is. And it's like, it's all colored by false ego. Yuck. It stinks. It's like a cesspool. It stinks. Pew. And what do you do? Here's what you do. It's gradual, okay, it's gradual, but, you know, get rid of the stench. It removes this false ego by doing these things in the way that are being recommended. So just a few other points, because it's already 8:15. Mad-deva sangat, specifically the worshipable person, should be, in this case, it's mud. It's first person singular. Rishabhdev is speaking, it's me. I should be, or the personality of Godhead should be, or Krishna should be one's worshipable supreme. And supposing one doesn't have a clear idea of what the supreme is, it is out there in the spiritual marketplace. People don't know what is the supreme. But here it's specific. The personality of Godhead is supreme, and that's the association one should receive, and the subject matter that one should hear and chant in the association of the devotees. Next. Dvandva tatiksha. Dvandva is duality and tatiksha is tolerated. Same as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so Prabhupada refers to it. So you're going along you're following this nice instruction Rishabhdev is giving to his sons, or his sons are following his nice instruction. Take shelter of a Paramahansa spiritual master. And in this way, these dressing, eating, and sleeping, and, you know, sense gratification tendencies are slackening. And these other nice things, spiritual standards are maintained. Now, you're going along. You still have a body, and there's still, like, duality out there. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes there's honor, sometimes... I'm just trying to be a nice devotee. Look, here comes the dishonor. Or the other way, I didn't do anything, and here comes this honor. That's actually him, but some honor is coming. So what do you do? Dvandva tatiksha. Minimally. You can do other things too, but continue to be to tolerate these features of duality. One has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures, and tolerate the pleasures of this material world. But don't go looking for it, and when it comes, you tolerate it. It's like, it's so nice. And it just rolls on to the next one. Then it's sex. And tolerate the pleasures of this material world. Don't go looking for it. And when it comes, you tolerate it. It's like, that's so nice. And it just rolls on to the next one. Then it's sex. One must be detached through the practice of celibacy. Detached from the spirit of enjoyment, not like I don't care about you, but detached from the spirit of enjoyment in specific sex enjoyment. Why? It hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. You know, so some people just do a whitewash. A little is okay. Or then, you know, what illicit sex is suddenly moves over there and becomes something else. These things are going on without detailing it. It goes on. And then, you know, somebody over there says, you know, Prabhupada didn't mean it. These things are going on. And, you know, if you want spiritual advancement, the other kids are doing it, so I want to do it too. Because, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that say that's where the standard is. But it's, you know, please be clear what the standard is. If you don't know, I'll send you a PDF file that says what the standard is. It's very, very explicit. And we follow the standard. Why? Because we want spiritual advancement. And doing otherwise, this said very softly, hampers spiritual advancement. In the second canto, Prabhupada says it much stronger. He said there's no question of spiritual advancement. Like he says it 5 times in one purport. There's no question of spiritual advancement if one doesn't follow this principle. There's no question of spiritual advancement. Anyway, so Rishabdev is certainly advising, and a wise person will follow his nice advice. We're getting towards the end. Vijnana Virajataha. There's a devotee in Minneapolis. Her name is Virajita. Patricia and Donna Kelly know her. Virajita. So here's the meaning of her name. Virajita. Where is it? Where'd it go? There it is. No. Illumined. Like, effulgent. Luminous. Virajita. And so the Virajita has a modifier. Vijnana. By practical application of knowledge. And then there's jnana vijnana virajatena. Here's what Prabhupada writes. Another important word is vijnana virajata. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously, as opposed to mechanically. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. The reminder is this attachment to being an imitation Purusha. Somehow I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the enjoyer of Prakriti and have a big celebration. I'm God. Gurbindra Srup calls it one's God project. Everybody has their God project. Some way I'm going to build my kingdom in this world and be God in that little kingdom. And then it collapses. And it's not, you know, you're not God anyway, at any point in time. So, concluding part here. Madhvacharya's remark, I'll read it again because it's a summary. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four slokas is, you know, the plus and the minus, or the positive and the negative, the injunction and the prohibition. One should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification. So this is like what we were, the previous. We're in a mixed position. There is material desire. And then, so how you manage the material desire. We went over it 3 times. So don't act out of sense gratification. The desire is there. How to deploy it? How to manage it so it's not too much, too little? And what's appropriate for one's position? What do you do with it? You deploy it in a way that it's for service to Krishna and not otherwise. That's the art of bhakti and, you know, managing this thing, material desire. So don't, that the injunction is don't act out of, or the prohibition, excuse me, don't act out of desire for sense gratification. And one should instead always engage oneself in the Lord's loving service. This is the path of liberation, ultimate path of liberation. Finally, one should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. That kind of language is there in the first canto, second chapter also, where the interest of the soul. Interest of the soul means the interest of the Supreme Soul. But interest of the soul makes it maybe easier. Not for sense gratification, but for the interest of the soul. What's the interest of the soul? Connecting with the Supreme Soul. Nate vidu svarta katimi Vishnu. The real self-interest is Vishnu. Acting for the interest of the soul, that's a desire, but it's called desireless, meaning it's free from material desire. That's what's recommended, summarizing what Madhvacharya has said. And last, there's this reference to Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 31. And after this, I'm done. So that's one of the Chaturasloki verses of the Bhagavatam. Chaturasloki verses of the Bhagavatam means it's an essential message for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. In these four statements, the whole Bhagavatam is summarized. This verse has that summary also. And the message is Gyanavijnanam Samanditam. Prabhupada writes, when one is fully equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means who is the personality of Godhead. Vijnana means activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. So applying that knowledge, there's realizations. Often Prabhupada used that definition. Theoretical knowledge, applied knowledge. Jnana, vijnana. Realized knowledge. So when you act properly, you get some realization. Vijnana. And that vijnana liberates one from material existence. And the last statement at the end is this material existence is freedom from false ego. Yay, freedom from false ego. Meet you there. Yes, Dr. Richard. Hare Krishna, here's the microphone.
Hare Bol. When we act for the benefit of the soul and it hurts our material situation, and when we act for our material situation and it hurts our spiritual development.
What was the first part? When we act for the interest of the soul, it hurts our...
No, I'm saying, if you could give a for instance, where we act for the benefit of the soul, but it actually goes against our material situation.
No!
And then...
I can't give an example, because there is one. Isn't one.
Why do
you want to give one?
Well, I mean, we see...
Go ahead.
Well, we see acharyas do things that are not good for their body, but are clearly beneficial for their soul. So
I beg to differ with you.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he did his vrata, when he did so many billions of names, how
was that not beneficial?
For his material body.
How was it not beneficial? Please tell me.
Well, I heard he was vomiting and things like that.
I didn't hear that.
Because of not being able to eat.
Did you hear
this?
Is that in this book? What was not necessary? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there's the answer to your question. it was not necessary for the, in the best interest of the soul, because it was bringing the body to the position where it couldn't function in a proper way. And being thus advised, he stopped.
So there's never an example where something's better for...
Say it again?
There's never an example where something's better for the soul and not good for the body.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So even a near jal ekadashi, that's healthy for the body.
Could you say it again slower?
A near jal ekadashi is good for the body?
Depends on the body, doesn't it? Depends on the body, doesn't it?
So, okay, so it depends on the person's...
I know what Ayurveda says. It's good.
Ayurveda says...
But different, yes. But different bodies, some specific bodies, it may be detrimental and so not advised. Okay? Yeah.
If one takes... I've noticed, simple...
I'm listening.
Well, it seems that one could be acting for the... In fact, I think the Bhagavatam says if one works for, in the 11th canto, the comforts of the body, that they will fall down, or even if they take too good maintenance of the body.
They too take too what?
Too good of care. Where the prostitute... what is it, Pingala, the prostitute, in that particular section, I believe that it says that if one, anyway, maybe I should find the exact verse.
Jagatananda's nodding his head, so he seems to know the reference. You don't know the reference. Jagannath, you know the reference?
No, actually, this discussion is kind of leading to my question.
Okay, fantastic, let's go.
You were discussing about the false ego and how it pollutes our understanding of everything.
Thank you for speaking slowly. I can tell you're doing it purposefully. Thank you.
And so it pollutes our understanding of ourselves, of love, of knowledge. You gave a few examples. So my concern, oftentimes when we hear about connecting to Srila Prabhupada through his books,
yes,
which is our obvious point, at the same time, we have a false ego. And that might pollute our understanding,
sure,
of the Bhagavatam.
That might.
And it does. This discussion was kind of reminding me of my question as such. So I often get concerned that Srila Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya,
yes,
and we are to have a direct relationship with him.
Well, what we did, just let me do a little editing. Personal relationship. Just a little editing. So go ahead.
I think just by saying that you've helped me. My question is how to underscore that in a way that it doesn't lead to people thinking... Jumping over, exactly.
And direct. And personal. So personal. Personal. It's something like a grandfather. I mean, in a family situation, a grandfather. There's a relationship with one's grandfather. And he's affectionate. And I can learn so much from him. The relationship is because I have a father. I have a grandfather. And if I just ignore my father, that's not nice. It's not even real. But it's not nice. Yes. Himanshu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was thinking that we often get two types of instructions. One that will go very easily with our conditioned nature.
Yeah.
And then the other, which will require a little surrender.
You've noticed.
Yeah. So I was also thinking how the ones that require a little more surrender are probably more beneficial.
Yes.
For the soul. So,
well, at least for our conditioned state.
Right.
They're both beneficial for the soul.
Right. So how to make that, you know, how to make that leap that, okay, I'm going to give up appreciating the lesser type.
Well, it's not exactly, let me restate it in this way. When you see there's an irritation, and when you see that irritation comes again and again and again, pay attention. Because that tells you something about yourself, at least your conditioned state. And then by paying attention, and don't like hide it under the rug or run away or like close your eyes or something. Pay attention. And you'll find there's something behind that. Like, you know, the root. Pay attention. And, you know, while paying attention, you're continuing to do your sadhana bhakti. And so thing, that irritation, what's causing the irritation, what's behind the irritation, will become illumined. And then you'll know how to grab it by the root and extract it. At least the possibility is there that you continue and then it becomes possible. So it's advisable. I advise what, like I just said. It's this part of the Anarjanavritti process. The hearing and chanting alone, one can say, Prabhupada writes, that's sufficient. But when their hearing and chanting is done nicely, the dark spots also become illumined. And then you can just continue with hearing and chanting. And that's sufficient. But more directly, in a mood of service, not in a mood of embarrassment or shame or something like that, you address the thing. And like we're hearing, don't act on it. Instead, Richard, put your hand down. I'm going to call on other people. Hang on. So, it may take some time. That's okay. It's not like there's a race. Because it's not going to go away just by pretending it's not there, so you pay attention to it and apply the strength of bhakti and the association of devotees and good example devotees, and you know, with your effort and their help and the holy name and the process of bhakti, it can be removed. Okay. Yes. John. Here's the phone. Mike.
You were describing about how Krishna said to tolerate the happiness, to not search for it, but when happiness comes, you should just tolerate it.
Well, you thank Krishna, but you know, it's not like, yay, I win. Oh, I lost.
So, my question is that when we are associating with the devotees, and we're having kirtan, we're having prasadam, that's a lot of happiness for me.
Yeah.
So is that something I should tolerate as well?
No. You thank Krishna. Krishna is very kind. That's what you do. Something else.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah. Is anyone that hasn't spoken yet like to say something? Donna Kelly, you've always got something nice. No? Okay.
Hare Krishna. This has always been one of my favorite parts of the Bhagavatam, the teachings of Lord Rishabhadeva. How am I to see Lord Rishabhadeva? Is he Krishna in another form? Because I think, doesn't he refer to his teachings to himself as Krishna somewhere along these teachings?
He refers in this verse to himself as the personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Prabhupada says specifically Krishna. But to answer your question, in Lago Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, he identifies the particular type of avatar that Rishabhdev is. And to the best of my weak memory, he's in the category of a Shaktivesh avatar, and then he gives four different categories of Shaktivesh avatars. Like subcategories of one category. And he's one of them. So Shaktivesh avatar commonly means, not always, but commonly means a jiva soul that's empowered, receiving directly the power of Krishna to do what Krishna wants him to do, and acts like the iron rod is fire, although it's iron rod, it acts like fire. It's fire. So Rishabhdev is an incarnation of that type. Yeah.
Is then the same thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So we don't look at them as Krishna. We don't worship them as Krishna.
We do.
We do.
Because they're avatar. That's one of the one of the little transcendental things that devotees need to learn is simultaneously one and different.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yeah, Achintya Bheda
Tattva. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Yeah. Great. So he is, as an avatar, he's bearing the fullness of a specific potency of Krishna. So that's Krishna. It's like, I'll just do it this way. Prabhupada was explaining the concept of avatar to some scholar. And Prabhupada, he didn't get it. So Prabhupada went really slowly. We take an iron rod. It's not fire. We put the iron rod in fire. It becomes warm, hot, blazing hot, red hot. It's no longer iron rod, it's fire. Do you agree? And the man said, yes. So, it's iron rod, but it's fire. Similarly, a jiva soul that's empowered, not Krishna, but Krishna, acting same, like fire. Take the iron rod and touch it to leaves. Fire. It's fire, although it's an iron rod. If the fire capacity is because of its contact with the fire. Similarly, Shaktivesha avatar is Shaktivesha avatar because of direct empowerment, that it acts as Krishna, acts. Therefore Krishna, but not Krishna. But avatar, specifically, in that category. I'm going to double check, and if my memory didn't serve me properly, I'll inform the class tomorrow. In fact, you know, I'll get the exact quote from Lago Bhagavatamrita that covers the categories of Shaktivesha avatars. Go ahead. Go for it.
One more quick one.
You got the mic. Yeah,
okay. In the Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, Prabhupada says we can find a form of Krishna, worship him in any of our favorite forms. I think he used Narsingadeva as
yes,
one.
Yes, sure.
Is this then one of the forms of Krishna?
Sure. Okay. Like that.
Nice.
It's a different in a category of forms of Krishna, but like that, yes. Okay. Back to Richard, you're on.
Going between the cantos recently. I think this is
Could you speak slowly and clearly?
I think this is in the fifth canto, Maharaj, where it says a devotee is equal to a curse, a benediction. And I'm giving you this little preface now. That must mean that the benefit for the soul is different than the body.
You're still back on that other question.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to take
okay,
into
okay,
what you
fine.
Said.
I'm just seeking clarity.
Oh yes.
Okay.
And you know, then you also read that you know bhakti has nothing to do with material situation. So I'm wondering how one affects the other. And then lastly...
How does the soul affect the animation of the body? Supposing, like Prabhupada speaks, that when one becomes a devotee, one becomes bright-faced. That's how he pronounced the word, bright-faced. Bright-faced. So how does the soul affect the body? By illumination or enlivenment of the soul, spiritual enlivenment of the soul, it affects, you know, the radiance of the body. One becomes effulgent. And conversely, haven't you seen when somebody that their spiritual life kind of goes down the tube, you can see it in their face. They become bleak and that luster is not there. Then you ask, what's happening, Prabhu? Right? Sure. So it's the presence of the soul. And the soul is endowed with something and then so it manifests through the body.
Um, there's an injunction. I heard this in the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radhanath Maharaj was saying that, I think it was Lord Chaitanya brought him prasadam in the morning, and he took it right away without washing his mouth or anything. My question is...
Yeah, we discussed it here. Go ahead.
About you should take it if it's putrid or...
Stale.
Stale. And so not putrid, would that affect the body poorly and affect the soul nicely? Or is this a misunderstanding? Because I've also heard prasadam cannot be contaminated. So
I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Are you?
Like, for instance, the body might become physically ill from prasadam.
And it's a matter of faith. While something may be absolute, there's also a matter of faith, isn't there?
Okay. Thank you.
Got it?
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're the Prabhupada Ki Jai.